And it'll just be an awkward moment many times an episode when we have a guest on and they're like, why is this called the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody? I'd be like, well, my dad died and he used to be on it.
Now who's the piece of shit?
Yeah. And then the guests will just feel awkward and it would be, yeah.
And over time, gradually, the guests will say, who's Greg Cody?
Who won?
No, death did. Death won.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
So I got a check in the mail today. It's very exciting. My racehorse, Calmly, the Forgotten Filly, won a race like months and months ago. I had completely forgotten about it. I get a check in the mail today for $82.49.
Wow.
How about that?
I was going to guess like $22.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a big time. So that's gonna pay my pre-dinner bar tab later tonight.
Wow. Big spender.
Barely.
Big spender.
You know, but...
What, are you going to have three rounds before dinner?
You know, no, two probably.
Oh, expensive.
Where we're going, we typically have to wait like 45 minutes, which is two drinks worth. And, you know, the drinks, I'm ordering a beer. Your mother's ordering one of these fancy, you know, I don't know, martini type drinks that cost like $30 or something. So whatever. Anyway, Yeti is back.
Jack.
You're damn right I am.
Welcome back, Yeti. Damn right. And we're going to get to a lot of Yeti in a minute because he's got a lot on his mind. But first I want to mention that I have eye duct tear syndrome or whatever it's called. I got it from my mother, the great Nana Doogie.
Who won?
Who won? That's right.
That is like all over the Levitard Show audio, like office. Like I'm telling you, people behind the scenes, like there is not a day that goes by that like after the show, somebody in the office is just all of a sudden out loud, who won?
It's one of the favorite things that I've learned about your family in the last year is the who won. And then like, when y'all threw in 2-1 the other day.
Yeah, 2-1. Tony, like, and his wife say it to each other. Like, it's like, it is.
Banana.
We should honestly make a who won shirt.
Yeah, we should. Make a note of that, parenthetically. But so it's weird because, like, I covered the Marlins opener on Thursday night.
Your annual trip to the ballpark.
That's right, my annual trip. See you in the playoffs. Marlon, see you in the playoffs. But so the national anthem is playing, and we're all standing. And I'm tearing up during the end of the national anthem. So it's like embarrassing because I'm like literally having to wipe away my tears so that they're not streaming down my face.
Dave Hyde's like, what are you doing?
Well, we were like five seats apart or else he would have been. But it's embarrassing. You know, I mean, not that I would be embarrassed to cry during the national anthem, which I have before, but not this time. And it's just such a weird syndrome I have. And the weird thing about that
were you crying because of how was the crowd bad on opening day?
No, I mean,
I heard it was actually fine.
Were you crying because you were at a Marlins game?
Right.
That's more likely. it was a fine crowd. It was not sold out, but it was credible. It was like 32K. But, yeah, it you know, so that was fake tears, the Nana tears. But earlier today, and I swear this is aging, this would not have happened to me 10, 15 years ago. I'm listening to Strawberry Wine by Deanna Carter,
love
one of my
song.
Favorite songs.
Love that song.
And I teared up toward the end of it because there were just on a lot of different levels. You know, it's written from a female perspective, but I totally understood it. And I don't know. I just cry more lately.
Yeah, you can relate to my grandpa's farm.
Well, I can't, but I can relate to, you know, aging and lost love. And
lost love? What are you? Do you have a lost love out there?
No, but, you know, I mean, I had a long-term relationship before your mother, but we don't want to get into that right now.
Wow.
Why not?
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, you know, that's for a different day. But Levitard and I in the studio... Monday and Tuesday, I was this week, past week. And on Tuesday, during a break, we were actually talking about mortality because it's big on both of our minds. And I don't know, it's just, I got a lot, it's an emotional time for me. And so I don't know where to go with it, but
I mean, now you're making me sad. Are you feeling okay?
I'm feeling okay.
Like you're not good. You're not going anywhere.
You know, you're in your late 60s, pushing 70, and you begin to, you know, you begin to think things and, you know, have thoughts and that kind of thing and so forth and so on. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to totally make this a down issue about my mortality, but, you know, we all go through it. So,
well, Dad, we love you and you're going to be around for a long time. So I don't want this. Let's get this negative talk out of here. Like, yes, okay. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You're old, but
right. Yeah, you can't die yet. I've got bills to pay, man.
I know. I'm getting there, though.
Just think about, I mean, we've already talked about this before, though. That first episode after you go, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like it might take a month or two for us to do it, but
yeah, it's going to be good ratings, though. It'll be good downloads, that first episode. But
people are going to, it's going to be controversial that I keep the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody going after you pass.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to keep that name?
Yeah.
Why not? You know?
Great. Why not? I approve. I hereby officially approve to keep the name of the show going after I'm dead.
There's your first country song is I tried to die for the downloads. Yeah.
And it'll just be an awkward moment many times an episode when we have a guest on and they're like, why is this called the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody? I'd be like, well, my dad died and he right. used to be on it.
Now yeah. who's the piece of shit?
Yeah. And then the guests will just feel awkward and it would be, yeah.
And over time, gradually, the guests will say, who's Greg Cody?
Who won?
No, death did. Death
you, I'm picturing you, for some reason, I have the visual of you in heaven with the phone up to your ear listening to the week's podcast.
Yes.
Like, he's going to haunt you. You forgot dad jokes.
Exactly. You'll hear me coughing in heaven.
I have three facts, Jack.
It actually made me, like, I was listening to Kirkchin. I wasn't in the day that you guys had Kirkchin in.
Oh,
but
right. Kirk, yeah.
But just, like, the fact that Kirkchin's been going through it. And it's just like, it did, like, you know, he's getting older and it's just like it, when you were just talking about your mortality, it made me think of that Kirkchin segment and how he just has had a rough year. And it just, it is a yeah. sad part of all of this that like we all are getting older.
No, mm-hmm. for sure. And Kirkchin and I are about the same age and I can totally relate to people of my generation who are still doing it. You know, Kirkchin, Tony Kornheiser, you know, Woody Page, even, a lot of people like that, all of the old former newspaper guys who are still transmogrifying into new yeah. points in their career. So,
and Kirkchin's got his new podcast with his son. That'll never work. That formula.
I gave Levitard shit because he was promoting the hell out of that podcast, and I'm like, during a commercial break, I'm like, you know what? I invented that, and I'm not sure if I did. I'm not sure if I did. I'm not sure if Chris Cody and I are the first father-son podcast, but I like to take credit.
The Golics would like a word.
Okay, if there's the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody started before the official, like, Golic
father-son
pod. But Golics, I mean, Gojo's been on the show for a long time.
And the Golics had a family podcast years ago.
That's true. Now, Greg, if you invented anything, it's saying that you invented that.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what you can claim.
That's true. I can. But
saying you invented everything.
Right, but I read a piece last week from Andrew Marchand of The Athletic on nepotism in sports broadcasting.
Yeah, did we not talk about this already on the podcast?
I don't think we did.
Oh,
well, not about Marchand's piece.
I think we talked about it off air, and you were bitching that we didn't make it.
Okay, that's true. He did. He did not mention us in the article, which is either good or bad. I'm not
That's
sure.
my fault, though. Like, I need to reach a certain level to be included there. Like, you were of a level that like, I brought us down there. That's on me. Like,
well,
like Golic Jr. has reached a level where it deserves to be in that article. I haven't reached that yet.
Okay. Well, you know, I think you have. But there's a lot. You know, Jack Collinsworth, the son of Chris Collinsworth, and Noah Eagle of Iron Eagle, of... protege offspring, but
I'm gonna be defensive for a second when it comes to uh-oh. nepotism, because while obviously yes, like these people all benefited, but a lot of jobs are about who you know. Sometimes yes. it's a family member, sometimes it's a friend. Like, are we not, if Bob Costas got his first internship because of a friend that he knew, is that not allowed. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's not allowed 100%. If it's a son or related, but if you're friends with someone and that's how you got your start, you know what I mean? It's very few people are just sending resumes and get picked. Like, that people do get jobs that way, but a lot of people are getting positions and jobs with places because of who you know. So, I mean, I'm not saying I'm not lucky. Like, anytime anyone asks me how to get a start in this business, I tell them, have a dad who's friends with Dan Le Batard. So
that's a good point.
But I just think that there are, the word nepotism, like it's all about who you know. So whether you're related, whether it's by blood or friendship, generally that's how most people get jobs. Right.
Nepotism is a very pejorative word. It basically means you're getting an unfair break, but that's not always the truth. The door is opening for you, but it doesn't guarantee that you're going to take advantage of that. And I thought in the piece by Andrew Marchand, Joe Buck, the son of the famous Jack Buck, said, quote, "It's a tremendous advantage, but then what do you do with it?"
Right.
And that's the key, because
is also key. Like, we can't just like overlook that is an advantage. Like, that's,
I know, but that's also the bloodline is an advantage across all kind of occupations. You know, I guarantee you, Bronny James is getting a longer look from scouts because he's LeBron James' son. You know what I'm saying? Like bloodlines count, but then once you walk through that door that's been opened a crack for you, what do you do with it? And I can tell you a conversation that Le Batard and I had when he took you on as an intern, and he and I were in agreement that, you know, he's getting this opportunity because of me, but then from that point forward, he's got to earn it. And people don't understand about Dan, and if they don't, I want them to. He's a businessman and a very smart businessman, and he's not going to abide any dead wood on his staff.
Yeah.
He's not.
I know. Trust me. I know. I'm just saying, we sound super defensive. I think we should, me and you are the worst people to talk. Like, Yeti, please, like, tell us how, like, blind we are about this topic.
No. All right. So nepotism, it's the advantage that if anyone had available to them, they'd be dumb not to take it, you know, to take the opportunity. Right. It oftentimes does afford you opportunities and maybe more of a benefit of the doubt than someone who doesn't have that direct connection. And that sucks in a way. And it's also like I said, if the roles are reversed, anyone would take that opportunity if it's something they wanted to do, but you do have to prove it. I mean, I don't know. Like, so it's the whole Nepo baby thing. Like, some of that's just jealousy, but there's legitimacy to most things.
There's gray area. Like, there are both sides. Like there are criticisms and also things that are, you know, Nepo babies. We it's hard out here for us. Like, everyone questions us.
I wasn't saying that at all.
People think we're good.
It's a matter of privilege, and there is nothing wrong with having privilege. Okay. Right. We should never feel guilty for having a privilege granted to us. Where we should feel guilty is, what do we do or not do with that? Do we use that privilege to open the door for others and help others and improve, you know, whatever privilege it is? I mean, John Amici is great about, you know, he'll even use the racial privilege or male privilege. He will talk about, you know, simply being able to walk without a wheelchair. That's a great example. He should never feel guilty for having full use of his legs. But what does he do with that? And what do we do with the things that have been afforded to us? And that's where, you know, that's where we have to take, you know, examine our lives. Chris, you've been really good at, you got privileged to be on this show and you opened the door for me.
Yeah. Look at me.
I appreciate that tremendously.
How about me?
How about Chris? Yay. Everybody celebrate Chris. Yay,
Chris Cody, Chris. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yay.
I want to veer off a second because Yeti, you've been involved in the past couple of podcasts, but your voice hasn't been because you've been out of town or whatever for various reasons. I was surprised to learn that you just got back from your first experience with Disney World.
Yep.
How, at your age, not that you're old, you've never been to Disney World? That always shocks me.
People who don't grow up in Florida.
I know. I get it.
For us,
it costs an ass ton of money,
that
Greg.
That too. Yeah. He's got that Greg Cody show money now.
Right. It has been, that's actually what, like, this whole last week has been just this weird array of emotions. And actually being able to go to Disney is one of them. Like having the ability, I went through this too. We bought Wilco some LeBrons the other day.
Get my man Yeti.
Now they were on sale for $60, but still at the Nike outlet. But like, it's the first pair of signature shoes anyone in my family has ever had.
Wow, dude.
Never. Nice. And like, it was a weird feeling because growing up, like shoes were when I learned that we were poor is because dad told me we couldn't afford some Reebok pumps that I wanted.
Yeah.
And like, that was a devastating day for me. You know, so Greg, ooh, I never went to Disney because I'm the oldest of seven kids.
Gotcha.
And, you know, and dad, as much as he was great about teaching us how to love people and love everybody, he was not good on the financial side. One day I'll get into the absolute crap hole of a house I grew up in. There's a lot of literal sense to that word, or to that phrase. But yeah, so my daughter, she performed in a chorus competition. Her choir at school did. And, wow. It was really cool. They took first place, wow, not only in their category, but first place overall for all the schools who competed that weekend. They were best concert choir and best overall middle school, which just,
man, that's big.
Insane amounts of pride about that. Because like, I realized watching her sing takes me back to, I just never thought about all the hard, like how much work I put in to chorus when I was in high school. I didn't start until high school. And to see her putting in that hard work now and to see it pay off and see her be better than me and what we did. We were really good, but these kids are in middle school and they're probably at the same level we were when I was in 10th or 11th grade.
Wow.
And like, it was amazing. And like, they're singing I've been able to go to her normal concerts without really tearing up or anything, but to see her last year at her all state chorus and this year at all district, all state, and now Disney, man, I lose it every time.
Sure.
It's just like, I feel just so much. One, it's just pretty. It's just gorgeous music. And to hear them deliver so well, and I'm critical, but like, they don't leave me with much to critique. Like, they're that good. And their teachers are so
a little pitchy
invested.
In the second. Do you like hit her with like a little pitchy in the second verse there, Wilco?
They haven't given it to me yet. I don't know. It just this massive wave of emotion to see them excel and see her excel at something.
Yeah.
So then,
I get that.
But yeah, so Disney World was really cool. Funny observation. I texted you guys about this. There's a Main Street parade going on. I think it was the Main Street one. Right when we get back from the chorus competition, and the first day we're at Magic Kingdom, and everyone's going off. The music's still playing though, or the song. There's still a song going on. I don't remember what song it is.
Everyone's dispersing.
Yeah, dispersing. The security guards are going around trying to get everything reset. And there's one lady security guard. She's walking around looking just dead serious.
Like, yeah.
But then you see her mouth, magically.
she's angrily singing the song.
I couldn't hear angrily her singing. But she was at least mouthing the song that was playing on.
Like just with an angry look. It's a small world after all.
It's like, I'm all about business, but this is undeniable. Yeah. Oh, it's a small world. That's my favorite. Like out of all the kiddie rides, that's my favorite one.
So when your daughter was singing, was it in like a Main Street parade?
No, it was off site at Saratoga Springs, Disney Saratoga Springs. They have a theater there. And that's where it's a small theater, but man, that room sounded good. It was a really good room to sing in. And so they weren't in a big crowd. They brought in one school. They'd sing two songs. They'd have a 10-minute clinic with one of the judges, and then they'd go back to the bus and they're back at Disney. Gotcha. Then at the end of on Saturday, the second day, they all gathered at the Indiana Jones exhibit because it's a big amphitheater. And that's where they did their awards ceremony. We weren't allowed there because they couldn't fit everyone. But then, you know, she told me I just left Fantasmic over at Hollywood Studios, and she called and said we got first place, and it was just I lost it right then and there.
Wow.
Like, you know, it just but the Disney shows, man, like this really did a number on me. And so
it's an emotional place, and like, you're there
for Yeti haters, too bad. You're going to hear from me. You haven't heard from me in a couple of weeks. You're going to hear from me. I've got a myriad of crap to talk about.
Yaters.
But and there are a few out there, and that's okay. You're permitted to hate me.
Yaters are going to yate.
Exactly.
We've done Disneyland before. I did it did Disneyland right at the end of my honeymoon, and then we took the kids out there in 2017, right as they were starting all the Christmas stuff. And so like the fireworks display there, like the Disneyland.
Oh, dude, you saw the Happily Ever After show?
That's what I saw this time. I don't remember what the Disneyland one was. Right,
I mean
at
this one though. Like I love that.
This one was happily ever after.
That gets dude the goosebumps when it's like at the end when he's like, "Now go as you are." In the like, you know, when he like when they he kind of sends you off.
Oh yeah, I can't you think. Are the key to unlocking your own magic, and I'm like, damn you!
I'm telling you, let's drop that in here. Like, I wish we could play that for the people right here. Like, that
I'll have to find it. Oh, yeah, man. But like, so Disneyland, the fireworks display, big, you know, final number, fireworks everywhere, and boom, snow. And I look down and see just my daughter. Like, that was all about the magic. Disney World, Magic Kingdom, the Happily Ever After. This was all about the emotion. So many of those songs were huge to me in my early teenage years, you know, and like you know, from Aladdin and Lion King and stuff. And like, it was just moving me. And then they hit me with Phil Collins. I'm like, oh, from Tarzan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, luckily, they only hit two bars of "You Be in My Heart." Because if they had gone more than that, I would have fallen on the ground. I would have been done.
I love that part.
Oh my gosh. And but that one really kind of wrecked me a little bit in a lot of ways, because there is no damn business like show damn business. And that's what I texted Lorenzo after the whole thing, because like, you guys know what I want to be doing full time. And you know that I'm very dissatisfied with not being able to do that right now and having to be responsible. I can't just leave everything and try it right now.
Yep. But that's like, what you and Juju Gotti have in common, by the way.
Yeah. It's just like, I want to continue to do creative things, whether it's performing music, writing music, doing creative stuff here, you know, doing podcast stuff, or performing somewhere. Like, I want to be in that realm. And I caught myself going back and forth, because it's like, I was really sad because I'm not there. But at the same time, I realized I'm so much further along now than I was 4 years ago. And like, one day at a time, I am getting closer and closer and closer. I'm doing.
Yeah.
And you guys are
you're doing
part
great
of that,
so work on this show and the Levitard show. Like, you're crushing it right now.
But I was just like, I was overwhelmed with not being there. And also like the feeling crappy about that, because I'm really happy and thankful for how far I've come along so far. But yeah, then the dumbass voiceover guy hit me with, "You are the key to unlocking your own magic," you know?
And dude, I'm like, I actually have this here. I just pulled it up.
You got it?
I can play it.
And so our journey comes to an end, but yours continues on. Grab hold of your dreams and make them come true. For you are the key to unlocking your own magic. Now go, let your dreams guide you. Reach out and find your happily ever after.
Goosebumps. Oh, dude. I'm telling you, that all you people that hate like Disney adults and people, like, I love that shit right there. That shit gave me legit goosebumps. I hate people that are like anti-Disney people. Like, that shit is moving.
Like, yeah, if I could have teleported immediately in that moment back to my studio, I would have written 15 albums that night. Like, but then I had to eat and I was dead tired by the time I got back to the hotel.
Then you had to walk 7 miles to the buses.
and then the
find
next night.
Find your happily ever after.
The second day we did Hollywood Studios. And I watched Fantasmic, and that show, that's where I was like, this show business, man. Because when the person who was portraying Moana came out, the crowd went absolute apeshit.
Yeah.
Like they, and I was just like, I got moved by their reaction to her. And I was just like, the fact that they're able to be up there and inspiring all these people and get them fired up and stuff like that. Like, you know, just more motivated to try to get that one day. And yeah, I'm 43. I don't care. I'm still going to keep trying. You know?
Yeah, sure.
And this whole week I've just been kind of struggling and battling with, you know, because I have to go back. I always have post-vacation blues anyway.
Oh, same.
When I have to go back to the day job.
Right.
And you know, so just been trying to battling all of that. Like, I want to be doing something else, but I'm also really thankful because I'm getting closer to that. I just want it now. And like, and that's been a weird and tough place to be on top of a bunch of other things. But do y'all want to make fun of me real quick?
No, man.
I have a legitimate reason you should make fun of me.
Okay, go ahead.
So Sunday we go to Epcot. Yeah. I didn't put any sunscreen on, and that ended up being okay. I'll spoiler alert. But I didn't bring my sunglasses because my dumbass thought the Epcot Center was the Sphere. I thought the entirety of Epcot was that geodesic sphere that is, I guess, a spaceship of tomorrow or spaceship Earth or whatever.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You thought the whole thing was a giant sphere?
Yes. That's funny.
Oh, my God.
Because as a child, I heard at Epcot Center, they showed the sphere. A building is a center. Okay, cool. And I've just never thought to question it.
The Epcot ball is sneaky small, honestly.
Yeah.
Like when you finally get in front of it.
I didn't even go in.
You can see it at times, like driving up to the park and it looks big. But when you get up to it, it's just like a building.
I thought I was going to be indoors the whole day, riding rides, eating my way around the world.
Yeah, it's the worst ride.
No, it was all outside.
I never even go in it because it's a really boring ride. Yeah, it is.
So luckily,
that is hilarious.
Luckily, yeah. I didn't get really, I got a little tan, but
you thought it was like Biodome?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I did. I really kind of thought it was this Biodome thing. And then like we start walking around and look at the map. I'm like, why is all the food stuff out? What do you mean?
Why are we
outside?
What is this
giant 1 mile loop? Oh, crap.
Where's the entrance to the ball?
Right. And I see this big line. I'm like, man, we're going to have to wait another hour and a half before we even get started at the fun. Yeah. And no, it wasn't the case.
That is fantastic.
Wow. Yeah, idiot me. But anyway, that was my Disney trip.
Now, as we go to commercial break here, Yeti, I noticed you have that Ken Griffey shirt on fire.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
I love it. Rage even went, he saw the picture, he went and bought one. Yeah. He texted me this week with a picture of him, of the shirt he got.
Ah.
And I absolutely love it. It's my new favorite shirt of all time. And
wow. All right, we'll be right back. I got to go pee-pee.
Go pee-pee.
Go pee-pee.
Who won?
Who won?
Who won?
Not the Mariners last night, damn it.
All right, guys, I want to talk to you about Sheets and Giggles. Our man Colin is getting married. Yeti, yes. How are we celebrating this? I know he's getting married on April 7th. So that means, I think from now until he returns from his honeymoon, Greg, sheetsgiggles.com/Greg, promo code wedding is getting you 47% off of the entire site. Guys, check it out. sheetsgiggles.com/Greg, promo code wedding.
That's a bigger sale than their Black Friday sale, than their Earth Day sale.
If you've ever considered and you haven't done it yet, this is the time. You're never going to save as much money as you can right now for the next couple weeks. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg, promo code wedding. 47% off the entire site. That's game-changing mattresses, sheets, pillows, pillowcases. And like I said, it improves your sex life. And my man Colin is going to be sheets and giggling it up.
I'm excited for him to finally have sex now that he's getting married.
Yeah. Yeah,
and there will be no giggles in those. There will be no giggling in that bedroom. I'll tell you that much. Just sheets. No giggling that week. Just sheets.
Wow. Okay. So, Yeti, you have mentioned that, and these are, I guess, serious things. You've mentioned you're mad at yourself related to junk food, mm-hmm. and that you've been thinking
that
about
that was in our show notes. Yes, I haven't said that to the audience in a while.
I mean. Nobody can go to Disney World and not eat like shit. I mean,
no, this has been ever since Vegas. So several months back in September, actually, I talked about, I just wanted some accountability, about my eating habits, and I did pretty good. Like I never fully cut it all off. I'd still occasionally have the binge, but like I did really well. And I mean, I said it wasn't going to be about the weight, but I mean, I lost 22 pounds, before Vegas. And
that's
I did
great.
Okay at Vegas. I really didn't go hog wild there. But ever since getting back, I've just had a really difficult time controlling it. And I'm really upset at myself because like, I'll have a good day, but that's it. And I've never tried to completely cut myself off from sweets on this because I know that's just going to crash and I'm just going to, you know, just overdose later. But like, it's just, I haven't been able to bring it back. And so I was like, maybe if I say it out loud again on the pod, maybe I'll be able to, you know, once again, have some accountability. Talking about it takes away some of its power. And
what are you talking about here? Like, what's like some of like the bad ones recently? Like,
well, like, okay, so we get back from Vegas and at work, our free snacks, they added M&Ms to the free snacks. And that's been trouble because I can just go, they've got a little dispenser. I just go get a little cup and I make.
How many cups a day? What are we talking here?
Three or four. Yeah. Trips to that. So on it's like, so it's that's like probably about
It's like Greg Cody's. It's like Greg Cody's Miller Lite intake.
Yeah. And I know it sounds stupid because, I mean, like, it's not like it's drugs or alcohol or anything like that. But
three or four means four or five. Come on. Yeah. I got you.
But like, it bothers me because I want to have control. I mentioned last time, I'm within 2 years of the age where my dad was diagnosed with diabetes. Now, I'm infinite amount better off right now than he was at 43. But I know I've already put on at least 10 pounds since Vegas. That was a few weeks ago. And that's just all because of my lack of control. And it pisses me off. I'm really angry. And like, so I also mentioned in our text a little bit, I've been thinking about my dad a lot and mortality, you know, and like I'm 20 years from the age that he was when he passed away. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get a lot more than 20 years out of this.
Right.
And
yeah.
Now, while I said I'm not on the same trajectory he was, I mean, it could happen at any time, and it really upsets me, and it's difficult for me. And so I'm going to say it out loud. I want to be better. Maybe that will help. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't rely on the genes that you inherited. You know, sometimes they bless you, and sometimes they're no guarantee at all. You know, like my parents both lived, my mother was in her mid-90s, my dad was in the late 80s. That offers me no guarantee.
But you use it a lot. Whenever I bring up, like, come on, Dad, we should be a little, you're like, my parents lived to the.
I know. I have to admit, I use it as a crutch, but intellectually, I know that I shouldn't. And I know that Yeti, you shouldn't be morose because your father died younger than he should have. I mean, you may live to be 97.
My goal is 90. If I get to 90, I'll feel really, really good about myself.
But when you get to 87, you're going to want more than 90.
Oh, of course.
That's true.
Of course.
That's true.
I know. No, about 10 years ago, I was like, 80 would be great.
Yeah. Yeti, yeah. Do you do the thing that with the M&M cups like my dad does? Every time you get up for like the second one, you say, I'll have one more. And it's like, and then the third one, you're like, I'll do one more.
That's
and
true.
Then the fourth one, you're
last
like,
one. Last one. Or every Monday. No more, you know, I'll binge through the weekend and that'll be it, you know, and it's right. Never that. It's,
yeah, one more before the next one. Now, I want to ask Yeti one more thing, because this relates to aging, not relates to aging into old age, but relates to aging into maturity. You mentioned something that your wife did a class at school that was related to sex ed or something. I want to hear about that, although maybe I don't.
Oh, no. Okay, so my wife, you know, Jane, is a substitute teacher, let me say that more properly. And today she was there with the fourth and fifth graders in PE. It's that time of year where, I don't know about you when you were in school, Greg, but when I was in school in fifth grade, all the girls left class one day and they came back with brown paper bags of mystery. And we had no idea what was in those paper bags. And we really wanted to know. And they would never tell us. And like all the boys were, what is in those bags? I have to know. But while they were gone, they showed us a video that taught about pee-pees and hair and growing in new places and stuff like that. And so that's what they did today. They had the, for the fourth graders, it was mainly just about puberty is what she said. But for the fifth graders, it got into the reproductive system. And hey, you're about to be old enough to where you could make a baby if you do things the wrong or right way. Wow. And she said that the fourth grade girls were crying. They were in tears when they learned they were going to have hair growing in places that they don't have hair right now. She said they were in full on tears. And then the fifth graders, she said, she didn't see the boys' video, but she said Wilco, he's fifth grade. He came home and he was like, people were laughing. I didn't see anything that was worth laughing about. I feel dirty. This is wrong. He was just like, he was in a weird mood. He's like, I don't even want to talk about this anymore, Mom. Like, he was just really upset. Greg, I don't know about y'all when y'all went through that, but I remember just being red-faced and in tears from laughing so much.
Yeah, I remember being immature about it. I am not looking forward to that, like, with my daughter. Like, just keep that away long as possible.
They said boobies.
Yeah, really. My sex ed class was so long ago, I literally don't even remember it. I mean, seriously, we're talking about, 55 years ago or whatever. Because fifth grade is what? Fifth grade is like 12? I don't even know.
10, 11, depending on when you started school. Yeah. Okay. I was 9 in the fifth grade. That was weird. I started young.
But. Yeah, I remember more of it in middle school than elementary school, like the sex ed classes.
It's funny because I don't remember it all from middle school.
I remember it being like health class. There was like a health elective in middle school. And that's like where I remember watching like videos of where you see, I was like, that's what the vagina looks like, huh?
I remember learning about STDs in middle school because, you know, we came up with holy herpes Batman is what we would yell to be, you know,
very immature. Creative.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that was today for Jane.
Well, that's what I want to mention now actually has to do with childbirth in a way. So it's almost like a segue that I never intended. I just found out in the past week that there's a thing called ABDL, Adult Baby Diaper Lovers. Have you guys heard about that?
Like adults that wear diapers?
Yeah, it's a thing. It's like a fetish. It's called paraphiletic infantilism, aka adult baby syndrome.
It's called adult baby diaper system.
Is a sexual or non-sexual?
I'm talking at half speed right now.
Okay, that's why I keep telling you all, listen to me at 1.5 speed. Okay, it's Christ, a sexual man. Or non-sexual fetish that may involve role-playing to a regression to an infant-like state. You know, it's like people dress up in diapers and everything. And
like a baby party, like, hey, you want to come to my baby party? Like, yeah. Like, and then people walk in and it's like rugrats. It's like a bunch of rugrats walking
around. And you know what? Levitard, by example, has helped show me
he's into this, right?
Less
that's the next costume.
Dan's into diapers.
No, next grid of death costume.
Are you reporting this? Can we put this on the scroll that Dan Levitard is into wearing adult diapers?
Yes. And he and I both are. Why do you think I brought it up? I try to be less judgmental. And so I'm coming to grips with how I should react to this, like live and let live, right? Like we all,
if the people involved are both into that and consenting into that, or at least into allowing their partner in, you know, like being a comfortable partner into that. All right.
I love how scared you guys both are with political correctness that you're afraid to laugh at adults wearing diapers right now. like you guys just gave the old, hey. If someone wants to wear, like, no, that's ridiculous. Okay. It's ridiculous for an adult to wear a diaper.
I will admit, it's funny. It's
like,
funny.
I don't know anything
it's
about
this.
It's
no different than people who are into BDSM.
So this
though.
Isn't like medical,
thing.
There's no medical issues here. Like, this isn't something like, this is just people that want to throw on a diaper for on a Friday night. By the way, I'm picturing grown men just wearing, like, that look like Tommy from Rugrats.
Right.
Like, just walking in completely nude outside of a large diaper.
Sure.
Right.
I mean, there are adult diapers. You know, meant for incontinence and stuff like that. So theoretically, you know, they're inviting you. They're inviting
Greg,
me.
You might be about like 3 weeks away from that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, I'm wearing a diaper right now and it makes my hips look bulky. That's the only problem.
Can you
with
stand
that.
Up and show us?
No, because you would see that I'm not lying. So is it time for dad jokes and three facts, Jack? Because we haven't done it in a couple of weeks and I think it's time.
It's taken one episode off.
No, it's taken two.
Nope.
Really?
Two off.
It seems like... Who won? Who lost? Okay, you ready? Dad jokes. What kind of a bird works at a construction site?
Hold on. I don't know.
Let's not take too long. How about a crane?
Damn it.
It was right there.
That was good. I mean, it's not good, but I should have got it.
What do chickens serve at birthday parties? Zzz. Poop cakes.
What?
What?
Poop cakes.
Huh? What's that? Poop cakes coop. Instead of cupcakes.
The Zoom gotcha. Wasn't picking up the K in that.
Yeah. Poop cakes.
No, it just coop sounds one. Like it sounds like you're saying oop cakes. Like we're not hearing one. The C. We're every time you've said it, we're only hearing oop cakes.
Oop cakes. I was like poop cakes, but chicken like, shit.
Can
what's
my
going?
Dad in a Zoom microphone? Can he say the C sound?
Poop.
No, he can't.
What?
Like, now turn on original sound. Turn on original sound.
Okay, hang on just a second. This is ridiculous. All right, hang on.
Coop
ready?
One.
Coop cakes.
There we go.
There we go. Okay, yep, all right, it's all about your original sound.
All right, number one. What do you call a lizard incapable of catching his own food?
You're so much clearer now. You've had bad audio this whole episode. Anyways, go on.
My producers might have told me that earlier.
A lizard incapable of catching his own food?
What do you call,
whose fault?
What do you call a lizard incapable of catching his own food? Nothing? A reptile dysfunction.
I probably.
Okay. No.
That is good.
I have to take credit for that.
I have okay. to take credit for that.
Okay. No, no, I do, because that is the, and I'm not just saying this because Jenny laughed out loud. That is the first dad joke I've ever done that I actually made up.
Okay. You made that one up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Normally I get dad jokes from a dad jokes book or from the internet. That one I actually made up. So I
can't wait to have 12 people tweet at us with comedians doing that or TikToks where people have already said that.
Okay.
Or well, someone's going to like screenshot that they tweeted you that like 3 weeks ago.
No, I swear on my life, nobody did. Erectile dysfunction.
I love that we get, you know, you turning on original sound gave us a Jumping Charlie cameo.
Yeah, I was going to say, I heard Charlie walking around now.
Well, that's because your mother is just now getting home from work when we're recording.
On Monday morning?
And Jumping Charlie's doing his... That's right, at 5 a.m. Monday morning, just before we come out. Okay, how about queuing me up for Three Facts, Jack?
There are three things that interest him, so sit right back for Three Facts, Jack.
Yes, 2 weeks ago you did this because it was Three Facts, Pat.
It is funny that we don't have imaging for... Like, we do these two segments back to back, and we have imaging for one and not for the other.
It's ridiculous.
I'm getting to it.
All right. Three facts, Jack. Number three, people with claustrophobia, beware. The narrowest officially recognized street in the world, a 65-foot-long passageway between two buildings in Rutlingen, Germany, measures 12 to 19 inches wide.
Have you ever seen on the internet these like narrow streets? And I think it's Japan. It's somewhere in Asia where it's like you're walking. It looks like an alleyway between two buildings. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you have like 4 feet in between buildings and there's room for like mopeds and walking.
Yeah.
But there's like every like 10 feet, there's like these like little restaurants. It's like little like one row bar restaurants. And like, it's, I got to find it on the internet. It's like this crazy narrow, where you can get like 50 different little bar restaurants in like a 2 mile span.
Okay. Wow. Count me in. Number two, the most memorable line from Taxi Driver, "You talking to me?" was not in the script and was an ad lib by Robert De Niro.
Hmm. Have you even seen that movie?
I love that movie. That's back in the day when I would actually go to movies.
Greg Does the Movies maybe coming up in the next couple of weeks?
I think we do.
Okay. Let's hope it's better than Christmas.
Yeah. We're still reeling from the last one.
Oh, yeah. That was, we got to slap Michael and get him in line. Number one, molecular study by scientists determined that the closest living relative to the Tyrannosaurus Rex dinosaur is the chicken.
Ron McGill's talked about this.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah. Reruns.
Yeah. Yeah. Years ago. Or is maybe it wasn't Ron. I think it was Ron. But I know that Levitard, right when I was first getting into the show, had a paleontologist on to talk about whether or not dinosaurs had external or internal genitalia. Because the thought of a T-Rex chasing you down with a sack, you know, dragging all over the ground was kind of a funny visual. But it turns out they were all internal. So,
Dad, you mentioned going to the movies. Like, you had a time when you went to the movies. I can't even picture that. Like, would you go by yourself to movies ever?
No, I mean, when I was a kid, they had the Saturday morning cartoons in the theaters, and I used to go to that all the time.
Is that a movie?
Regularly.
Is that going to the movies, or is that going to watch cartoons?
Because it's like, you know, 2 hours of cartoons on a Saturday morning.
Your bona fides of going to the movies was like when I used to go watch cartoons.
Okay, I saw All the President's Men while I was in college. I saw that in the movie theater. I saw Jaws in the theater.
Wow.
You know, Taxi Driver. I mean, you know, I'm a movie
goer. Taxi Driver. Okay, Driver, don't stop for me.
Stop for me.
You have made a reference to maybe not being on Quaaludes in a theater.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. That was back in the Q day. Okay. First of all, let me tease it real quick.
We're like an hour into this episode.
I know.
Last of all, there
is a Back in My Day book coming out. Okay. I just want to say that.
Burying the lead.
There's a Back in My Day book coming out. It's probably going to be a few months from now, but there's going to be a lot in it besides Back in My Day. So look forward to that. I want to mention that, we want to invite Greg's mail sack questions. Okay. And this will, I assume that by the time this comes out on Monday, we will have a link up or whatever. But
link, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Very
true. No, I really don't.
Just go to the GregCotisShow.com and we'll put this in, out on our social media feeds. But
we'll have a link up.
Yes, we'll have a link up.
Linking it.
We'll go to the GregCotisShow.com and Abraham, in the bottom right hand corner, there's a little microphone. If you're on your cell phone, you might have to scroll down a little bit, but you'll see a microphone in the bottom right hand corner. Click that, leave us a voicemail. You will need to be funny with your questions, or you'll need to have interesting questions, because we get a lot of these. And we're going to be selective. So bring it. Be good. Be great.
Bring it.
We also thank like you all. We also like limited fakes. Like, just be funny. That's the one rule. If you're funny, we're going to air it.
Right. Singing, whatever. Whatever you bring. Bring it.
I guess you can be interesting, too, or heartfelt. But we really like funny.
It's true. We'll take heartfelt.
If you give us a good question that's going to get us something interesting from Greg, yeah, that'll make it.
Right. And it can be about the Levitard show. It can be about our show. It can be about the Miami Herald. It can be about, the... Whatever, the price of fish.
If it's about the Miami Herald, it'll probably get cut, though.
That's true. That's a good point there. Thank you all, as always. Welcome back to Yeti, whose voice we hadn't heard in a couple of
We got a
episodes.
Lot of Yeti today. A lot of Yeti. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably a little too much.
Sorry, and you're welcome.
Yaters are going to yate.
Okay. Anyway, thank you all, and we'll see you next week. Appreciate you all every week. Don't take that for granted. That kind of thing. Who won?
Dad, there's a giant snake right behind you.
What makes you say that?
April
Fools. There actually used to be.
April Fools.
April Fools.
Oh!
Happy April Fools.
Damn it. You got me. I actually turned around because there used to be a big foam, a big toy snake, that green one. You remember that?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm hallucinating. I don't know. Could be the Quaaludes again.